Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to all fellow believers in him who are being given proof of the sufficiency of the grace of God in adversity and the perfecting of his strength in weakness. Our scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're reading a little differently from the authorized version in order to show the emphatic contrast between weakness and power brought out by the consistent use of the same Greek words in each case. Having spoken of some of the visions and revelations of the Lord which he had experienced, Paul goes on to say in verse 7 of this chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I powerful." My grace is sufficient. It's interesting to trace the usage of the original word translated sufficient. It is used 8 times in the New Testament, and in addition to the occurrence here, it appears in the account of the feeding of the 5,000 in John's Gospel, chapter 6. In order to test Philip, the Lord asked him where they could buy bread for this number. Philip replied that 200 pennyworth of bread would not be sufficient. Later on, in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 8, on that last evening together, this same Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us," and received that authoritative reply from the Lord Jesus, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," thus establishing once for all the fact of his deity. In the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, when the 5 foolish, whose lamps were going out, tried to borrow some oil, the 5 wise virgins refused to part with any, on the ground that there wouldn't be enough for all of them. The remaining 4 occurrences of the word are translated to be content. John the Baptist told the soldiers to be content with their wages. Luke chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, and Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, advising his readers to be content with food and clothing and such things as they had. And finally, John, in his 3rd epistle, uses this word in verse 10. Having regard to this thought of being content, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 might well read, "And he, the Lord, said unto me, Be content with my grace, for my power is completed, full in weakness." The meanings that fill out the phrase "made perfect" in the authorized version are complete, full, wanting in nothing, showing itself most effective. There's another lovely and comforting thought in this verse 9. Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Rest upon is the translation of a word used nowhere else in the New Testament, and it means literally to pitch a tent over or upon and dwell in it. So it's not surprising that being content with such things as ye have in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 already mentioned, it's not surprising that that is followed by, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." How true that all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God. What a contrast all this is with the way of the world, where might is right and the weak go to the wall. But God's ways are not our ways. And it has been said of the Lord Jesus Christ that through weakness and defeat he won the meed and crown, trod all his foes beneath his feet by being trodden down. How different too, and how sad, the story of one of the kings of Judah, recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. His name was Uzziah, and it says of him, "And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvellously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. As a result, he was smitten with leprosy." How much better then to emulate the Apostle Paul and even glory in our weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may come upon us and dwell in us. We wouldn't pretend that this is easy, far from it, and yet in the Saviour's call to those who would serve him, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest," the invitation to take his yoke upon us has in it the thought of his sharing the burden, because the word yoke elsewhere in the New Testament is translated balance, and he affirmed, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." What a need there is for balance in our lives and Christian walk, balance of doctrine and practice, of outlook and perspective. His grace is great enough to meet the great things, the crashing waves that overwhelm the soul, the roaring winds that leave us stunned and breathless, the sudden storms beyond our life's control. His grace is great enough to meet the small things, the little pinprick troubles that annoy, the insect worries, buzzing and persistent, the squeaking wheels that grate upon our joy. You may have heard the story told by C.H. Spurgeon about his own experience. He said, "The other evening, I was riding home after a heavy day's work. I felt wearied and sore depressed, when swiftly and suddenly as a lightning flash, that text came to me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee.' I reached home and looked it up in the original, and at last it came to me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee.' And I said, 'I should think it is, Lord,' and burst out laughing. I never fully understood what the holy laughter of Abraham was until then. It seemed to make unbelief so absurd. Who would limit him who commands the universe? Be great believers. Little faith will bring your souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your souls. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy, to multiplied trials his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again."